The Word of God which engages us today is this promise of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You use them every day. They are powerful and yet surprisingly small, vital yet often overlooked, and you don't realize how much you depend upon them until you lose them. I'm talking about keys. Keys open doors to homes, to cars, to offices. Keys unlock access to phones or to computers or to the thermostat. Over the years, keys have changed in their form, but their function is always the same: to give security and to grant access, all for one purpose, to provide security. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus teaches that the kingdom of heaven also has keys. Their purpose is the same as any key: to provide security. They give assurance of salvation to sinners troubled by their guilt and their shame, and they grant entrance into eternal life to all who repent of their sin. And Jesus has given these keys to the church, and he wants us to use them responsibly, lovingly, and faithfully. Yet these keys are not made of metal or any other physical substance. These keys are made of words. And there are two distinct keys. One is the word of absolution that forgives repentant sinners, loosing their bonds. The word loose is not one we use much anymore today. To loose means to release, to set free, setting them free of their bonds of guilt and releasing them from condemnation. The other is the word of rebuke that admonishes unrepentant sinners, those who reject Jesus and reject his forgiveness, by binding them to their sins and its consequences, so that they will wake up and repent. Jesus gave us both keys, and both are necessary for a healthy ministry. Two different keys with two very different functions, yet for the same purpose: the security of our salvation, to welcome repentant sinners into the kingdom, to comfort troubled consciences with the forgiveness of their sins, and to assure believers that they are free from condemnation. So what are these keys, and how do we use them well? The first key is the key that binds and withholds forgiveness. This key is mentioned various places in the Scriptures, including at the end of the Gospel of John, when the risen Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he gives them the authority to forgive or to bind, to withhold forgiveness. From John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So you might ask, how could it be that withholding forgiveness and binding someone to their sins is loving? How could we ever lock someone out of heaven? That is a great question. Let me begin to answer that first with a personal story. The summer after my first year at college, I returned home. And it was the worst summer of my life. As I tried to continue enjoying my newfound freedom as a college student while living under the roof and the rules of my parents, I did not want to obey their rules for our family. And so I stayed up extremely late each night, enjoying time with my friends, and then waking up extremely early every morning to go to work. My parents loved me. And wisely they said, "Brandon, you cannot continue living like this. It's not good for you. It's not good for our family." And so they lovingly and wisely gave me boundaries and said, "You have to be home by midnight. There's no reason that you should be out later than midnight." And yet, I refused to obey. I continued coming home well after midnight, pushing the boundaries of what my parents had given for me for my own good. And so then, out of love for me, they finally were forced to take away my key. They asked me to hand over the house key, which was my only way into the house. And they said, at midnight, we will lock the door. If you arrive before midnight, we welcome you. If you arrive after midnight, you will be locked out. 2 nights later, at 12:15, my friend dropped me off at my house. And I looked up and I saw my mom at the front door looking through the window, and she saw me, and I thought, oh good, I can still get in. But when I got to the door, it was locked. Because my parents love me. They were forced to discipline me and hold me to their word. And that was the night that I woke up to my own sin and rebellion and realized I cannot continue living like this. Their locking me out was an act of love that led to my repentance. Hebrews teaches us that God disciplines the ones He loves. In love, He wants all people to wake up to the reality that their sin is dangerous and it is deadly. And it slowly hardens hearts until it consumes us, and yes, it can even condemn us. So like open heart surgery, using the key that binds is painful, but its purpose is good. It is to rescue us from death. The church uses this key when it chooses to excommunicate a member. Let me clarify five important things about excommunication. Number one, it is never done in haste or hurry. It follows the process of lovingly and faithfully admonishing an unrepentant sinner as outlined in Matthew chapter 18, seeking their good. Number two, it is always motivated by love. We're not trying to punish somebody or humiliate somebody. In love, we want them to return to Jesus and repent of their sin. We care about their eternal well-being. Number three, it's not pushing a brother out of the church. It's clarifying for someone who is unrepentant and unbelieving that they have already left the church, that they have rejected their salvation. It serves to remove any false security. Number four, its purpose is to call a hardened sinner to repentance, to lead a defiant sinner back to Christ, where there is security in their forgiveness of all of their sins, where there is welcome into His eternal kingdom. And number five, if we must use that key that binds excommunication, we treat that person as we would any other unbeliever. We pray for their salvation. We care about them, and we welcome them to hear God's word. Do you know that there is an example in the scriptures? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul admonishes the church in Corinth for condoning the sexual sin of a member. And he instructs the church to do this, to remove this man from their fellowship by delivering this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5:5. It sounds harsh, but it was done for his good, to wake him up. And then in his second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 2, Paul writes this. He's referring to the very same man who has now repented of his sin when he says, "This punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him and reaffirm your love for him." The excommunication was effective. This defiant sinner repented and was restored to Christ and to his church. The second key that we are given is the key that looses and forgives. This key releases a sinner from the bondage of sin and sets her free from condemnation. This key is the word of absolution, the word of forgiveness, that is spoken by your pastor on behalf of Christ here in public worship. As I say the words like this, I forgive you all your sins. Yes, I, your pastor, am speaking those words. You're hearing my voice, and yet it is Jesus Christ himself who is speaking through me, simply as his instrument, who has been called and ordained for this, who has been given the authority to use these keys so that it is actually Jesus Christ speaking to you. God himself speaking words that you can hear as he says to you, I forgive you all your sins. Because Jesus has already paid the full price of all of your sins. He's carried all of them to the cross. His blood was shed to be able to cover your sins so that he can assure you here in this place that those sins are forgiven. And yet if there still is a burden of guilt weighing upon you, then there's another gift that God gives to us. It is individual confession and absolution, where an individual may come to a pastor or may turn to a dear friend in Christ and may confess a sin that weighs heavy upon them. And we then can speak God's words of grace and assure them of their forgiveness. There is now no condemnation for you, for you are in Christ Jesus. God has promised that he will wash away your sins and he will remember them no more. That sin that you have spoken, it is gone. It is gone forever because God has forgiven it. Go in peace. You are clean. You are healed. And though your mind or your heart might remind you once again of what you have done, though you might not feel like you are forgiven, don't trust your feelings. Trust what God says to you here and now when he says, I forgive you. His word is certain. Whenever I visit someone who is nearing death, I ask them if there is any sin that troubles them or any secrets that they want to confess in order to hear the assurance of God's forgiveness. Last month, I had the privilege of visiting Jose Gomez in the hospital shortly before he died. And I asked him that very same question. The irony is that Jose at that moment could not speak. He could mouth words. He was alert, but he had no voice. There was no sound to his words. And in the moment, I realized I cannot read lips in Spanish. He kept trying, and I kept trying, but it wasn't working. But I assured him, Jose, I will not leave here until I have heard what you want to say, and I have announced God's forgiveness for your sin. And then on the wall, I saw a whiteboard where one of the nurses had written the full alphabet. Jose could still nod and move his head, yes or no, as I pointed to each letter of the alphabet and arrived at the letter he wanted me to write down. I don't know how long it took, because at that point, time did not matter. But by God's grace, Jose was able to acknowledge his sin before God, to remove the burden that had weighed upon him and place it at the feet of Christ. As letter by letter, he made his confession. And I had the privilege of serving in the place of Christ and being Christ's voice to speak to Jose and let him know that sin was paid for by Jesus Christ. He carried that sin to the cross so that you today can be forgiven. Truly, Jose could now depart in peace. At that moment, the keys of the kingdom unlocked heaven and released this man from his burden of guilt and assured him of everlasting life. We here in the church have been given keys, the keys of the kingdom. So what now? What do we do with these keys? Let me conclude with three applications. First, at some point it may be necessary to use the key that binds. Let us learn to use it well. That is, lovingly, prayerfully, and according to God's word. And let us encourage and admonish those who are being hardened by sin, those who are beginning to conform their lives to this world. so that they might wake up and repent and return to Christ, and in Him find forgiveness. Number two, let us treasure the key that looses, the key that forgives us of our sins. Let us eagerly gather here each Sunday and joyfully invite others to come and hear God's voice speak to you. When you hear your pastor say, "In the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ," or "as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority," and then know the words that follow are being spoken by your pastor, but they are Jesus' words. Jesus Christ is speaking directly to you when he says, "I forgive you all of your sins." So that you may now leave this place forgiven and free, at peace, joyfully ready to live your life serving the needs of others because God has set you free. And third, if for some reason any sin is still troubling you or weighing upon you, if you're feeling that burden of guilt, come and be released through individual confession and absolution. Allow God to speak His forgiveness directly into your ears. As you turn to a brother or sister in Christ, as you turn to one of your pastors, confess your sin with the certainty that you will hear a word of forgiveness. Martin Luther wrote, "A confident and joyful heart can only come from the knowledge that our sins are forgiven." Jesus Christ gave the keys of the kingdom to His church so that we can live with the security of our salvation, so that we can live with confident and joyful hearts. Thanks be to Christ. Amen.